Hello and welcome to our Good Friday service. This is a tenebrae, and the word tenebrae, it is a Latin word, and it means shadows or darkness. So this is a darkening service, a service of shadows. And what we're going to do is walk with Jesus. This is the end of Holy Week. We've been walking with Jesus all year, listening to his words, seeing what the parables were talking about, watching him do miracles. And on this Sunday past, he came as king into Jerusalem. And now he is going to his crucifixion, to his death. This is the darkest moment in history. And so we recognize it with this darkening service. As the world grows darker, as he moves to his death and to the tomb. Take a moment and listen to the songs that I've sent along with this message to be in a worshipful mood. And let me just tell you that at the end of the service, at the very end, there will be a loud noise that will signify the closing of the tomb. At that point, I just ask you just to sit silently for a few minutes. If we were in the church, I would ask you to leave the church in silence, not speak to anyone, so that we can understand the impact of what has just happened. You can do this, by the way, at home with your kids. The easiest way to do it is just read John chapter 18, verses 1 through 19, the end of the chapter. And you can do this with your children, putting out the candles as you go. They like that. And it will be something that they can take with them to remember their entire lives. We could do this each year, recognizing what Jesus has done for us. And this year, it is so much more meaningful because here we are in our homes and we're doing this by video because of the dark time in our history, this virus, this enemy that has attacked us and is causing the world to grow darker. So I hope this becomes significant. Excuse me. I hope this becomes significant to you for that reason. Well, and because this is what Jesus has done for us. I want to read a scripture before we begin. And this scripture is from John chapter 1, and says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Father, in the name of Jesus, as we experience these scriptures, let us remember and think about and understand in a deeper way what you have done for us. You came as the light to deliver us from darkness. But today we remember the darkest time, the things that you went through, the humiliation, the betrayal, the pain, the suffering, all for us. Lord God, let this be meaningful to us. Anoint our ears to hear it. Anoint our spirits to understand it. Anoint your words this evening, Lord God, so that we can know you better and know what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we begin the tenebrae, a service of shadows. The shadow of betrayal, Luke 22, 1 through 6. "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12, he went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. Have you ever experienced a betrayal in your life? A friend? Someone you thought was a friend? This is what's happened to Jesus. Judas was with him from the beginning. And yet it is Judas who betrays Jesus and turns him over. For what? Money. I'll be putting out a candle as we go through the shadows, and the world will grow darker. The shadow of the agony of the Spirit, Matthew 26:36-44. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." Going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Have you ever experienced an agony in your spirit that you just prayed? I've prayed for my parents, my brother, and you know, you come back and you pray, and you just feel that agony in your soul. And here is Jesus, knowing what he is going to face, knowing what is going to happen to him. And he's asking God, "Please take this from me." And he says the same thing. But then in the end, he says, "Not my will, but yours, Lord." Let us say that too. Your will be done in our lives, Lord. And now we have the shadow of arrest. Mark 14:43-49. Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temples teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." Here he is, a false arrest. He is arrested and charged. And what did he do? He'd been healing. He'd been praying for people. He'd been leading people. But he is arrested and charged. The shadow of desertion. They all left him and fled. Mark 14:66-72. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, You also were with the Nazarene Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, this man is one of them. But again, he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. Even Peter, when confronted with the possibility of his own arrest, he denies Jesus. Sometimes our faith can be uncomfortable. And in this case, it could have meant death for Peter. And he denied Jesus. Can you imagine how that feels? You're arrested for false charges because your friend betrayed you, and then your other friend denies you, and all of them flee from you. This is what Jesus is going through for us. The shadow of accusation. Matthew 27:11-18. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, well, you have said so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Matthew 27:21-26. The governor again said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And they all said, let him be crucified. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Jesus is beaten and delivered over to be crucified. And the very people that he had healed are now shouting for his death. The shadow of crucifixion and humiliation. Matthew 27:27-37. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." So Jesus has been beaten, and Isaiah prophesies about this. And in that prophecy, he says that the Lord was beaten so much so that he didn't even look like a human any longer. That's how badly he was beaten. And now he's made fun of. He's humiliated. He's spit on. His clothes, put a robe over him and then take it off to make fun of him. And now he's going to his death. The shadow of death. Matthew 27, 45 through 54. Now from the sixth hour there was a darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what had taken place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Jesus has died. And even bodies came out of tombs. The curtain in the temple was torn in two because God is no longer there. He's not in that temple any longer. It's torn in two. And our Jesus has died. The shadow of burial. John 19, 38 through 42. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight, so that they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen clothes with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.